front, but they have not been given the order to mobilize. There are doctors right now all over the country in private practice going about their business. We need to treat this like the war it is.
Dr. Deborah Birx, the coordinator of the White House Task Force on the Coronavirus, has a message for Americans. She says do better in social distancing. Until a vaccine is available, social distancing may be the strongest weapon to fight the virus. The streak of job growth ended suddenly in March in the U.S. after nearly a decade as employers cut 700,000 jobs. I'm Mike Moss.
This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. And we're talking with Assistant Special Agent in Charge Steve Goldman, Portland Office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Good morning. Thanks for being on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So during these tenuous times with everything that has changed, we talked in a couple of different segments recently about how more and more kids need more and more time at home. And as leader of the criminal squads of the FBI in Oregon and dealing with crimes against children and things like that, wanted to talk about what you see as maybe more than ever about a threat to kids who are spending so much time at home right now.
Well, we definitely see what's going on right now as increasing the risk. You know, anytime kids are online, there's potential risk. And given how we're living right now with the virus, everybody's spending more time at home, more time indoors. And the kids, including, you know, tweens and teens, spending more time on their phones and laptops, tablets, gaming systems. And the more time that they're spending online, the sort of the higher the risk comes with that.
So what are some of those threats to kids?
So the threats that we're concerned about are, you know, like online predators and, you know, sextortion kind of schemes where kids are being, you know, sought after for, you know, some sort of exploitation.
And tell us more about that. How does that tend to play out when kids are online? Is it going to sites they shouldn't go to, or is it people going to regular standard chat sites?
You know, it depends. It could be both. But it's, you know, where kids are online and people on the other end are, you know, establishing sort of relationships with them and building a, you know, a sense of a relationship and trust. And then, you know, there's potential risk of the child's fallen prey to some sort of predator.
And obviously when kids go online and when adults go online for that matter, if you're communicating with people you don't already know, you have no assurance that the person is who they say they are in your interaction with them, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or any of the other platforms. Somebody can set up a profile. They can look like just another kid, or they can look like a teenager when they may be an adult of either sex and of various ages.
Correct. You know, we see this in a lot of different environments online. And, you know, that's the thing about right now is if you haven't had this conversation with your kids, it's a great time to have the conversation. And if you've had this conversation already, it's a great time to refresh it and just go over those things that, you know, parents and kids should work together so that they don't fall victim to this.
So what would you advise for parents to do in terms of their kids' devices? I know a lot of times there's, especially as kids get older, there's a tendency to not want to check on them quite so much. But given the situation that we're in now, do you think that should be looked at a little differently?
I think so. You know, I think, you know, parents know their kids and they should, you know, watch for signs and behavior changes and make sure that you have that open relationship where they can come to you and talk to you if they, you know, see something that's not right or they feel that, you know, they've been contacted by somebody that just doesn't seem right. But definitely the big thing is, you know, discussing internet safety with them at this time when they're gauging online so that they know, because they may not know these things are out there.
Now, when they're having these interactions on social media, does it immediately go from, you know, maybe one segment of time as a kind of a standard conversation to some of these more devious, dark things immediately? Or do some of these predators establish what seem like normal relationships for the long term and then slowly twist them up the roadways?
You know, I wouldn't point to one or the other. I mean, I would say that it, we've seen it, you know, happen in both sorts of instances. But yeah, there is a, you know, a sort of a relationship built, and it depends on the situation. And that's why, you know, we need parents to kind of have that conversation, you know, and look at also other sorts of recommendations, you know, reviewing and approving game apps before they're downloaded, and, you know, making sure privacy settings are set at like the strictest levels, you know, and monitoring your children's use of the internet, you know, possibly keeping electronic devices being used, you know, in an open area in the house, in a common room. So these sorts of things and conversations that you can have, you know, will, you know, hopefully decrease and eliminate that risk.
Are there specific devices that are more problematic than others?
No, I wouldn't point to one more than the other. You know, kids are engaged these days a lot on their phones, a lot on their laptops and tablets and gaming systems, and we sort of view those all the same as having the same sort of risk.
And what about warning signs parents can be watching for?
So some of the signs are, you know, increase in nightmares or withdrawn behavior, angry outbursts or anxiety, depression, you know, and just maybe sometimes a little bit of knowledge about sexual situations that you sort of wouldn't expect at that age range. And, you know, with these sorts of issues, what happens a lot of times is, you know, kids are, if they are in communication with somebody who's a predator, is that they're under sort of this pressure and the shame and embarrassment, which a lot of times keeps them from coming to a parent or coming to somebody and telling them what's going on. So it's a good time to, like, look for some of those signs.
Are there specific things parents can do on the front end to kind of help keep their kids safe as we're now into this, what may be a several-week extension of no school, et cetera?
Yeah, there are some. There's, you know, in addition to what I talked about earlier about, you know, having that conversation just and having that trust built so that you know that your kids can come to you and tell you when they've got a problem. You know, there's also things about, you know, teaching your children about sort of body safety and boundaries, encouraging that communication with you, being mindful of what they're doing online, you know, while they're out there.
And for parents who suspect their child has been approached or even worse, what should their next course of action be?
Well, if you think your child's been a victim, you know, the first thing we would recommend is contacting your local law enforcement agency. You can also contact the local FBI office. You know, if you know of station, if you feel you want to submit something, there's always the tips.fbi.gov site, which would take that. And there's also the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, what we call in the industry NCMEC. And they're available. There's a 800 line for them and also a cyber tip line that they run as well.
Does the FBI have any kind of tools, sort of almost curriculum to offer families?
Yeah, we do. We have a safe online surfing program, safe online surfing, so it's easy to remember, sos.fbi.gov, for grades, you know, 3 through 8. It's great for families to sort of have this conversation with kids, and it's game-based. You know, if you're a third or fourth grade, the site has things for your age range, and then if you're older, it has sort of games for your age range that sort of teach you about online safety.
All right, Steve Goldman is the Assistant Special Agent in charge of the Portland office of the FBI. Thanks for being on with us this morning.
Thanks, Kyle. Really appreciate it.
All right, 8:39 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.